Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sita Visika Hato Vishina Damsaha.
Sita Visika Hato Vishina Damsaha.
Chatat Japari Pluta Atatayano Me. Prasavam Abhisasara Madhvatartam. Sabhavatu me Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha.
Sabhavati Bhagavan Gatir
Mukundaha. Shita.
Shita.
Sharp.
Sharp.
Vishika.
Vishika.
Arrows.
Arrows.
Pataha.
Pataha.
Wounded by. Vishina Damsaha.
Vishina Damsaha.
Scattered shield.
Scattered shield.
Chataja.
Chataja.
By wounds.
By wounds.
Pariplutaha.
Pariplutaha.
Smeared with blood.
Smeared with blood.
Atatayana.
Atatayana.
The great aggressor.
The great aggressor.
May.
May.
My.
My.
Prasabham.
Prasabham.
In an angry mood.
In an angry mood.
Abhisasara.
Abhisasara.
Began to move on.
Began to move on.
Matvadartam.
Matvadartam.
For the purpose of killing me.
For the purpose of killing me.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Bhavatu.
Bhavatu.
May become.
May become.
May.
May.
My.
My.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Gatihi.
Gatihi.
Destination.
Destination.
Mukundaha.
Mukundaha.
Who awards salvation.
Who awards salvation.
May he, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield he charged me as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered, and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. The dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Sri Krishna appeared to be partial to Arjuna and at enmity with Bhishma Dev. But factually, all this was especially meant to show special favour to Bhishma Dev, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee even in the garb of an enemy. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy, nor can a so-called enemy harm him, because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still, he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy or rebukes him from a superior position. Although no one can be superior to the Lord. These are some of the transcendental, reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. And those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. Vijmadev played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the body of the Lord so that to the common eyes it appears that the Lord was wounded. But factually, all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. The all-spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Had it been so, Bhishmadev would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. Sambhavatu me Bhagavan Gati Mukundaha. Had Bhishmadev been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna could have annihilated him without even moving. There was no need to come before Bhishmadev with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa, or relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. The Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishmadev. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhishmadev as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. Apparently, his determination was to kill Bhishmadev. But factually, it was to please him as a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all conditioned souls. The impersonalists desire salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here, Bhishmadev aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire for this. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Langayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. This is indeed a mystery. I have a question that you can think about the answer of. I mentioned this to Nanda yesterday. Where's the sadhana that one follows in order to be, in order to follow in the footsteps of Bhishmadev? Where's the sadhana? Huh? Anybody like to say? Do you know what I mean? Got a few quizzical looks. Well, Bhishmadev is a great devotee, and we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. So this is a very unique position. As Prabhupada says here, the dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhishmadev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Krishna appear to be partial to Arjuna. Why does it appear to be partial to Arjuna? Who's been... any hands up those who've been following this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Oh yeah. Why does it appear that Krishna is being partial to Arjuna? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Because Bhishmadev is about to kill him. Bhishmadev is about to kill Arjuna. Wasn't it? There was a bit of chicanery. Do you know what chicanery is? Trickery. In the battle. Because somebody, I can't remember who it was, who had the arrows? Duryodhana. But who did those arrows belong to originally? Bhishma. That's right. Five arrows that could kill the Pandavas, because Bhishma was the greatest fighter. Bhishmadev was as I understand it, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishmadev was the greatest fighter. Theoretically, he was the greatest fighter, and he had five arrows. But then, Bhishmadev had given those arrows to Duryodhana because Bhishmadev had taken a vow. Was it that he'd taken a vow that he would kill the Pandavas on that particular day? But then, by tricks, previously Arjuna had saved Duryodhana from a great embarrassment. He was captured by the Gandharvas. And there was a big battle, and Duryodhana was actually saved by the Pandavas. So then, at that time, Duryodhana had promised Arjuna a boon, but he didn't take it. He said, "No, I won't take it now, I'll take it later on." So, Bhishmadev had been taunted by Duryodhana. You know, you're favouring your relatives, your nephews. You're favouring the Pandavas. You're not really trying hard enough because of your affection. You're not real. So he was questioning his prowess as a Kshatriya, right? Which is, you know, an insult to a Kshatriya. So then he said, "Okay, tomorrow I'll kill the Pandavas with my five arrows," which were. So it had some special potency. So when Bhishmadev made the vow, then Krishna told Arjuna, "Now's the time to go and get your boon." So that made Bhishmadev even more furious. Right? And so therefore he took a vow that I will make Krishna break his promise. He's made me break my promise. So I'm going to make him break his promise. Prabhupada explains this in my Bhagavatam lecture. You've made me break my promise, I'm going to make you break your promise. And so that's the setting, as I understand it, that's the setting of this scene. So then, Bhishmadev is unique also because he is a great devotee. He's one of the Mahajanas, 12 Mahajanas. And the Mahajanas are special in that they understand how to apply religious principles according to time, place and circumstance. You know, we can gain information from the Shastra, but sometimes information in the Shastra is contradictory. You know, you get one Shastra say this, another Shastra say something completely opposite. And without understanding the context, one can become confused. And very important, context is, Prabhupada says, kala, desha, patra, time, place, and person. Or Prabhupada would say, time, place, and circumstance. Right? So we understand the Shastra gives us principles. Don't do this. But understanding how to apply those principles according to situation or according to time, place and circumstance requires deep advancement, deep realization, deep, you know, understanding, proper understanding. You know, there's in Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, there's obstacles are described that can hinder devotional service. Niyamadraha, which means being too attached to the following the rules and regulations, or not following the rules and regulations. Right? So sometimes rules and regulations, according to situation or circumstance, are to be ignored in some circumstances. You know, and it requires maturity to understand when should we stick very rigidly to the rules and regulations and when we should be flexible. How to apply the principles that are given within the Shastra, within the scripture, according to the situation, is understood by the Mahajanas, great personalities. So they know how to apply religious principles according to the circumstance. So that ability comes with advancement. It comes with advancement, with a deep realization of the devotional principles. The ultimate purpose of all of the principles is to help us remember Krishna. Not just to follow rules and regulations. You know, we're not here just to follow rules and regulations. We're meant to become devotees. And in all stages of life, in all circumstances, to be a devotee. So Bhishma Deva is a very unique example of a devotee, because his predominant mood or rasa with Krishna is chivalry. And you know, usually we think of those who engage in combat with Krishna or with the different incarnations as being completely opposite to devotees. I mean, who are some examples of those who would fight with Krishna? Classic examples. One that starts with H, for example. Right? Hiranyakashipu. Although, interestingly enough, Hiranyakashipu actually is a devotee. Jaya and Vijay were cursed to become demons, and they accepted the role of demons in the mood of devotee. In the mood of a devotee, they accepted the role of a demon. But in this particular situation, it's really very unique, because Bhishma Dev is a devotee and yet he's fighting with Krishna. And that's, as Prabhupada says here, the astounding feature. This is in italics. You know, in the Bhagavatam, there are not many purports where Prabhupada puts a sentence or words into italics. And, you know, we use italics as emphasis for something. Right? So here in this purport, Prabhupada says, the astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. So I guess Hiranyakashipu is... he fits into that category, actually. But he wasn't playing the part of a devotee as Bhishma Dev was, or is. So, it appears that the Lord was favouring Arjuna by protecting him. But actually, Prabhupada points out, certainly that was the case. The Lord was motivated to protect Arjuna, but at the same time, he was reciprocating with Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev's desire to see the Lord break his promise. And by politics, basically, Prabhupada mentions earlier on in the purports of this chapter, Bhishma Dev ended up on the side of the Kauravas, You know, this is, in one sense, we can say this is the power of association. That association is, even for a devotee, and a very advanced devotee, like Vishmadev, extremely powerful. So as it turns out, because of his affection for the Kauravas, that he ended up on the wrong, so-called on the wrong side. Actually, the beginning of all of this section, Yudhisthira is lamenting that, look at all of this destruction, look at all of the death, look at all the suffering, look at all of the lamentation, and it was all for enthroning me as the king. And so Yudhisthira felt that was a huge waste and a loss. And one of the first instructions that Bhishmadev gives to Yudhisthira is, actually, no, it's not a loss. It is not a waste. But rather, these things all take place as a result of the influence of time. And ultimately, who is time? Time is Krishna. And so, therefore, this wasn't an accident. It wasn't something that happened as a result of your desire. It wasn't just to place you on the throne, but rather, this was Krishna's arrangement. And sometimes the arrangements that Krishna makes are very, very difficult to fathom. In fact, in the verse it says that actually it's useless trying to inquire and find out exactly what Krishna's plan is, because it remains hidden to him. We may have some inkling or some understanding of a little part of it, but we can never understand completely all of Krishna's plan. Especially as we can see in here, this is actually quite bewildering in one sense. You know, ordinarily it's described as anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamadyanavritam anukulena krishnanu sevana. Sevanam bhakti uchate, is it? Or uttama. Bhakti uttama. The topmost transcendental service is that which is rendered favourably. But you know, charging Krishna and shooting him with arrows is a little hard for us to conceive as being favourable devotional service. If somebody's shooting us with arrows, we wouldn't see that as being favourable. We think this guy's out to kill me. Yet here's Krishna being attacked by Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev actually puncturing his body, apparently, with arrows. And Krishna's enjoying it.
Flowers. Okay. Like flowers.
Like flowers, yeah, Krishna's enjoying it. In fact, it's described, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this in the pastime of. And it's mentioned here also, you know, that Krishna enjoys it when his devotee takes a superior position to him. And so in the pastime of, you know, the liberation of Manigriva and Nalakuvera, when Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna with a stick, then even though he's showing signs of fear, he actually enjoys being chased by his mother. Right? Anybody? My mum used to hit us with a wooden spoon. I mean, not very often. But on occasion when we were really naughty, then mum would get the wooden spoon out. She'd say, I'm going to hit you with a wooden spoon. As we grew up, we just laughed. Mum said, you're going to hit us with a wooden spoon. You're going to hit us with a wooden spoon. Who cares? Yes, if dad hit you with something, then that's when you're worried. But mum, you'd laugh. So, you know, Krishna actually. So, in that commentary of that pastime, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or certainly I've read it somewhere, where he explains that the wounds that Bhishma Dev inflicted on him, Krishna appreciated them like he would appreciate the love bites of the gopis. Right? We probably don't do this sort of thing. This is okay for Krishna and the gopis, but we don't go around giving each other love bites. You don't even know what a love bite is, do you? You know, sometimes in a mood of affection, what the lover will bite the neck or the cheek of their beloved. And, you know, normally if you're biting somebody, that's like, hey, what are you doing? Leave me alone. But in that mood of affection, it's appreciated as a sign of intense love and affection. Huh? So the arrows, the shooting of the arrows by Bhishma Dev into Krishna is the same as the gopis biting Krishna on the neck. In that mood, Krishna accepted Bhishma Dev's shooting of the arrows. This is the unique feature of the I can't think of the Sanskrit terms. Huh? No, what's chivalry? Virya. Come on, I'll fight you. Huh? Krishna likes that. He actually likes it when his devotee wants to fight with him. You know, with the cowherd boys, they'll play tricks on Krishna. So, okay, come on, we'll fight. When we're young boys, you know, you're playing with your friends and then they play a trick on you. And that's fun. That's enjoyment. So, Prabhupada says here, the Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee even in the garb of an enemy, which is quite wonderful. Something to meditate. It's something we probably, like I said before, I'm not sure where the sadhana is to become a devotee like Bhishma Dev. But I guess to meditate on his relationship with Krishna and on his personality and on how even fighting with Krishna, which would ordinarily, we from a material point of view, and Prabhupada mentions here, this pastime is actually meant to bewilder the non-devotees. The devotees can meditate on this and relish the relationship between Bhishma Dev and Krishna and get great pleasure from it, an inspiration from it, to see how Krishna is prepared to fulfill the promise of his devotee. Right? Because Bhishma said, I'm going to make him break his promise. And so Krishna was prepared to break his own promise to fulfill the promise of Bhishma Dev that he would get down off the chariot and fight to protect Arjuna, which is to fulfill another promise that Krishna makes, which is Tuntaya Pratijanehi Name Bhakta Pranasyati. Right? So you know, Krishna broke a promise to keep another promise, but that promise is to protect his devotee. And in the process, this is the as Prabhupada says, the astounding feature, in order to keep the devotee's promise, he broke his own promise, but actually he was, you know, serving his devotee, Bhishma Dev. Serving Arjuna, but also serving Bhishma Dev at the same time, being able to fulfill everybody's desire in a very, very complete way, but in a way that's very mysterious and, as Prabhupada says, astounding. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. And then Prabhupada says here, those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. It's like, doesn't make sense. Why is he fighting? If you look at it just from the external, without knowing internal dealings between Bhishma Dev and Krishna. And Bhishma Dev and Arjuna, and Krishna and Arjuna. Bhishma Dev played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the Lord, the body of the Lord, so that to the common eyes it appeared that the Lord was wounded. But factually, all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. Yeah, Prabhupada says it. The all spiritual body cannot be wounded. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna actually remained on the chariot to protect it. But he momentarily got off. And manifestation is he remained on the chariot, but at the same time he got off. It's mentioned in his commentary. The old spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Although he is the enemy, but he cannot become an enemy. Right? He's still a devotee. Had Bhishma Dev, or had it been so, Bhishma Dev would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. And that's this last line here. Sabhavatu me Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha. May he, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. Yeah, the demons just have enmity. And they want to see the Lord destroyed. Right? This is the difference. Bhishma Dev, even though he was acting as if an enemy, he relished that vision of Krishna getting off of the chariot and rushing towards him, and him firing arrows at him. And in the next verse it describes how he prays to meditate on that form of the Lord, and that he leave his body at that point in time with that vision of the Lord running towards him with the shield scattered, with Arjuna trying to hold him back. That was Bhishma Dev's meditation on Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this form of Krishna is actually an eternal form. It's an eternal form of the Lord, and that his relationship in this virya rasa or chivalrous rasa is an eternal relationship. Had Vishnudev been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna could have annihilated him without even moving. There was no need to come before Bhishma Dev with blood and wounds, but he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa or relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. I'll keep reading. I'll finish this off. The Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishma Dev. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded towards Bhishma Dev as a lover goes to a lover, without caring for hindrances. Apparently, his determination was to kill Bhishma Dev, but factually, it was to please him as a great devotee. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all conditioned souls. The impersonalists desire salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here, Bhishma Dev aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire to this. Does anybody have any comments or questions on these points?
Ruji, we see that the Pandavas and Bhishma, they are pure devotees of the Lord. But they are not on the platform of the Gopas. Of
The Gopas.
The Gopas of the Vrindavan world.
Yeah, they're just different.
So their destination, like they are more in the awe and reverence because they are realizing Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So then their destination would be Vaikuntha planet.
Not as I understand it, because they're eternal associates of Krishna and they appear wherever Krishna is appearing in the material universe to perform his lila. They don't go to Vaikuntha. I mean, they may have a position in Vaikuntha. Arjuna is manifest. Who's Arjuna in Chaitanya Leela?
Ramananda
Roy. So, you know, they've got multi roles. But they're not going, you know, they don't, as I understand it, they don't go back to Vaikuntha. Maybe they do when they're on holidays from doing their pastimes in the material world. But, you know, their role is as eternal servants of Krishna as he performs his pastimes. You know, so yes, it is their pastimes are outside of Gokul or Goloka, if you like, but they're still eternal pastimes. So that's my understanding. Anybody else like to add comment on that? What do you think?
So, Prabhupada, they are always seeing the two-handed form of Krishna. No? Even it's not that...
Yes. So they're not Vaikuntha residents then, maybe. They're special. They're special. Very special. Very special, because you know, this battle of Kurukshetra, the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita, the relationship with Arjuna, this is eternally manifest. But it is something that's only manifest in the material world, is not manifest in the spiritual world. Krishna doesn't give Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita in the spiritual world. He doesn't need to speak the Bhagavad Gita in the spiritual world because everybody's a devotee. The Bhagavad Gita, as we're hearing yesterday and the day before, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. What a proper example is earlier on in the purports, he said the mother instructs the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. Is that right? Yeah. Although sometimes I'm sure the daughter-in-law gets a direct instruction. But meaning that Krishna arranged it in such a way so that it appears that Arjuna is in ignorance, so that then he could instruct the Bhagavad Gita to him. But actually the instruction to Arjuna is an instruction that's actually meant for all of us. So these are very unique pastimes of the Lord that are manifest in the material world. But they're still eternal pastimes, because wherever Krishna goes, then he performs these pastimes ultimately for the benefit of everybody. Does that make sense? Anything else? Yes,
what about your principle of pastime between Putna and Krishna?
What about
the relationship, the transcendental relationship?
Transcendental relationship.
Well,
A good example is Putana wanted to destroy Krishna. Bhishmadeva didn't want to actually kill Krishna. That's the unique difference. He just wanted to fight with him. God, let's have a fight. Right, so that's a different kind of a mood. Whereas Putana wanted to kill Krishna. And of course, even though Krishna's in the form of a little baby, he understood Putana's motivation and so therefore was killed. See, it's interesting how Krishna arranged this pastime with Bhishmadeva. It happened just before the end of play, right? It was the last ball of the last over of the day of the match, right? And so right at that point, it was, you know, the conch was blown and that was it, time to stop fighting. So Krishna raised it such a way so that Bhishmadeva would get that vision, but then the fighting would stop. You know, in that kind of situation, the fighting would be to the death, ordinarily. And Bhishmadeva would have been, you know, finished off. Actually, when Bhishmadeva saw Krishna coming towards him, then he put down, after he shot him and saw that, then he put down his weapons and he was waiting for Krishna to kill him. So, very unique. Whereas Putana, Krishna didn't hesitate and sucked out a life error and that was it. She went down screaming. Big difference. Anything else? I guess, you know, what do we learn out of this pastime? There's a question. What do we learn out of this? Krishna's his devotee's friend. Yeah. Yeah. What about in terms of our devotional service? What can we learn from Bhishmadeva? Sorry?
Austerity.
Is that like fighting with Krishna? Performing austerities?
No, as a brahmachari, calls to his life.
Oh, okay. As an example. Yeah.
And serving his father.
Yeah.
Doing whatever is required to please Krishna. So Bhishma was ready to fight on the opposite side with the enemies, even though he was a devotee, he knew Krishna's position, but because that would please Krishna, because he was in chivalrous sattva with Krishna, so he was ready to detail his own needs to, for the power.
Was Bhishmadeva taking the side of the Kauravas pleasing to Krishna? It was. Yes or no? What do you reckon? Anybody know? Sorry?
Krishna's always pleased.
Not if you don't do things that he doesn't like. So if you do things that Krishna doesn't like, then he's not going to be happy with you.
He's
partial. Huh? No, Krishna's partial. Look what he jumped off of his chariot to protect Arjuna and to please Bhishmadeva. So Krishna is partial because he says, "I'm equal to everybody, but I'm especially inclined towards my devotees." Huh? One of the things Nandamandir mentioned the other day, which is interesting, and it's in the earlier purports, Krishna wanted to use Bhishmadeva as an example to show that if you're on the wrong side, then even though you're the most powerful, you won't be successful because Krishna's not ultimately being pleased. So there's multiple threads or strands of the narrative. Multiple relationships and multiple meanings to what's actually taking place. But because Bhishma Dev was on the wrong side, then he was, you know, fated not to be successful. Couldn't be successful. What is that saying? Mare Krishna, Rakeke, Rakeke Krishna, Mareke.
Rakeke Krishna, Mareke.
If Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, then no one can kill you. So Bhishma Dev, on the wrong side, couldn't be successful. Even though he's a great devotee and the biggest warrior. But despite that, still Krishna reciprocated with him because he was such a great devotee. And generally we don't find anywhere where we're encouraged to follow in the footsteps of Bhishma Dev. I don't think. Other than that we should be great devotees. But certainly to fight with Krishna, that's quite special. Another thing is that, you know, you don't have to be a sadhu or a saint, you know, you don't have to be a brahmana to be successful in life. Huh? Because most of us probably not brahmanas. As a kshatriya, he's successful. As a sudra, we can be successful. As a vaishya, we can be successful. So long as we are devotees. You know, the most important thing is that we are devotees. And even if we're on the wrong side, we should still be a devotee. Huh? And even sometimes in the society of devotees, there are different sides, right? Differences of opinion. Huh? End result being, you know, even, you know, the devotees may disagree over things, but the bottom line is that they want to serve Krishna. That's the underlying principle. And that's the underlying principle of Bhishma Dev's relationship with Krishna, that he wanted to serve. Well, I think we might finish here. Kanti Rashi and Bhagavatam.